all of our association executive rock stars out there, and welcome back to the Future of Association Work podcast. This podcast is devoted to helping you discover how the age of disruption is transforming association management and work. In a way, we'd like to think of it as therapy for the association's soul. Through our conversations and special guests, we'll explore the latest work models, trends, tactics, and case studies for both associations and association professionals. Our goal is to help you find more success and fulfillment in your association journey in this bewildering age of disruption. While the current coronavirus pandemic has certainly accelerated virtual work within associations, the concept of virtual work and the virtualization of associations has been slowly evolving for years. To learn more about the best practices and latest trends in virtual associations, we're very fortunate to have with us today Kevin Helm and David Westman, two outstanding association executives who are also the founders of the Virtual Association Network, or in the association world, we love our acronyms, VAN. So Kevin and David, welcome to the Future of Association Work.
Thanks, Stuart. Glad to be here.
Very happy to be here.
Tell our audience more about yourselves and your individual association journeys. Kevin, why don't we start out with you?
Sure. I started probably a little over 20 years ago with family medicine. I'm thankful here in Kansas City, we have a pretty robust network of associations and American Academy of Family Physicians is here. It was a great career starter. It's a large association. I left them and went to the Society for Stimulation and Healthcare, complete opposite. A completely 100% virtual organization from its inception. And that's when I was introduced full time to virtual work and just found such a significant benefit to my work life and work style, and it fit with everything.
And then I left them back in April, and I'm now the executive director for the Neurodiagnostic Society. We call ourselves ASSET, the Neurodiagnostic Society.
Awesome. David, how about yourself?
Well, for me, Stuart, I've been involved with the association world for about 25 years, back to the mid-1990s, both as an association CEO as well as a consultant to associations. So I've served CEO roles with the Emergency Nurses Association, with the Congress of Neurological Surgeons, with several interim assignments, and then now most recently, I'm the executive director of the American Society of Colon and Rectal Surgeons. Now, at the same time as I've been doing that, I've also been maintaining a consulting practice with the firm that I formed 9 years ago. So I'm pretty much doing that on nights and weekends, focusing on governance and strategic planning and human resources management. I've been involved with the ASAE as well as state and local societies and trying to be active and networking in the industry.
In full disclosure, I've known David for a while. He actually hired me to work at Emergency Nurses Association, which where I was at for 3 years. He was an incredible boss, incredible CEO. And Kevin, who I've never met in person, but through my participation in the Virtual Association Network, I've gotten to know over the past couple of years, and he's just a phenomenal human being. So let's just launch right into the conversation. David, why don't we start with you? Tell us the story behind how and why the Virtual Association Network got started, and what is the Virtual Association Network?
Well, the Virtual Association Network is a brainchild of the two of us, Kevin and myself, from about 3 years ago. And it's basically was formed for organizations and individuals that had an interest in working virtually or remotely. From my vantage point, my interest started with Kevin because I was very intrigued with his experience at the Society of Stimulation and Healthcare, which was one of my consulting clients. And they've been operating virtually for many years and from all appearances very well. So as I thought about that and with the increasing technology advantages and just my perception that all generations, not just the millennials, had an increased interest in remote work, you know, I thought that virtual associations could well be the trend of the future, and it's something we needed to work on. And yet I wasn't seeing the ASAE or other entities, for that matter, just giving much attention to virtual organizations. So I thought, you know what, let's just start from scratch and develop a grassroots effort along those lines. And of course, now with COVID, many associations are now experiencing the virtual operations. From my vantage point, this is a huge opportunity and a huge growth area as far as the association world.
For the first year or so, we kind of tried to figure out what we were going to be. We struggled with what we were going to call ourselves. What is a virtual employee? Who can attend? Are we going to have a structure, dues? We settled on kind of a networking structure. There are no dues. We call ourselves a group that meets every other month. We have an hour phone call and we share stories, or we bring in presenters and talk about pertinent issues that the group has recommended throughout the year that they want to hear. And we do a significant benchmarking study as well that David leads, and he might elaborate on that. But the future of the van is going to be interesting. We're growing. We are now up to a little over 90 members, and we call it members. There's no dues. It's just that group. But now we're getting that next stage, like all organizations go through. Probably need to add some structure, maybe some task forces. We've got some projects we want to work on. And with COVID around, we now have just unprecedented interest in what we're doing and more relevancy to a larger audience than we've had before.
So why would an established association or startup association consider becoming a virtual association or virtualizing certain aspects of their organization?
I guess I'll pop in, and I'd almost ask Stuart the opposite question. Now that virtually all associations have experienced operating remotely for 4 months now, it's almost like, why would you feel a need to go back to brick and mortar? At least for me, I see a number of key advantages for any organization. First of all, there's a national pool of talent to recruit from. And I'll just give you an example with our organization, the one that I serve as executive director. We went fully virtual, ironically, on April 1st, right when COVID was hitting. We had planned to do it way back last fall, just serendipitous. You know, we ended up doing it at the same time COVID did break out. But we ended up hiring employees in the March-April timeframe from Waco, Texas, from Grand Rapids, Michigan, from Asheville, North Carolina. We have now one that's working out of Istanbul, Turkey. I mean, they're all over the place. So you have a national pool that you can draw upon. It certainly is clear that many employees prefer working from home, and the technology has progressed to the point where teaming with fellow employees, collaboration is just as possible, at least in my vantage point, from working in a brick and mortar facility. It's just different, but it certainly can happen. I would argue that productivity is certainly no worse, and I'd argue it would be better in most cases for remote employees. After all, the figure in metropolitan areas where the commuting time is an hour each way for a lot of employees, you could easily be talking about 10 hours of extra time each week that an employee has, and at least a portion of that's probably going to go towards work, the rest of it towards other things. And then finally, of course, there's the expense savings from a brick and mortar where you don't have the facility costs, and for the employee, you don't have commuting costs. So, I mean, those are just four advantages right off the bat.
Absolutely. Kevin, tell us about the various levels of virtualization from full virtual organizations like David is talking about. Are there organizations out there that are just virtualizing certain aspects of their association?
Stuart, there are three levels of virtual association categories that I see. There's the traditional brick and mortar that has a few employees that might work from home sporadically. I did that at Family Medicine. I actually worked Wednesdays, and I had a very flexible supervisor at the time that was into testing new things. So I was fortunate. Then we have kind of mixed environments, hybrid environments, like where I am now, where you may still have an office where a few people are working most of the time, and the rest are virtual, and then 100% virtual environments. We see a mix of all three within the van. And regarding full-time or freelance workers, I don't think it's that much different than a regular association. For the majority, I believe, leads through the van, most people are full-time equivalent employees. They're salaried. Every once in a while, you'll hear a freelancer, but it's in the normal areas that we hear of in our other association work, marketing, that kind of thing.
I think that's true. I don't think that there's any reason why a virtual organization has to have a different staffing structure, but I think what it may do, at least I'll pick on ourselves that way, is it opens you up a little bit more towards considering alternative work arrangements and employment relationships, freelancing, if you want to call it that, certainly. For example, with us, we actually use a freelancer, I would say, as our director of education. It's a person who's not an employee. She works roughly half-time for us, but she has her own consulting business off to the side, and she's the one actually that lives currently in Istanbul, Turkey. So we got a 7-hour time difference to deal with there. But, you know, I think it just because of the technology that's embedded, that has to be embedded within virtual firms, it opens the thinking up to the types of different work relationships that you can have.
So, David, talking about freelancers, talk about how you merge your culture with the other members of the team who are full-time.
Well, we basically treat this particular person just as we would any other employee. The person is given an email box. The person is invited to attend our staff leadership meetings, participate in our monthly all staff meetings. We don't treat the individual any differently than we would an employee, other than the person doesn't get paid like an employee and is working half time. It's very seamless, and the technology, again, makes it very easy to just treat the person no different than anybody else.
Let's stay with you, David. So virtual organizations, is this only for small associations? Do you see the model working for large associations? What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm biased, but I don't see any reason why it can't work for any organization. And certainly with COVID here, it's had to be that way. All organizations of all sizes are doing it. I've had some interaction with the CEO recently of a much, much larger association than we are. And this is a person who was quite reluctant to go down the path, that the person wasn't even offering to their employees even telecommuting one day a week before all this happened. And of course, then COVID happens. And I just was talking with him about a week ago. He said, you know what, this is really working. Productivity is staying high and we're making it work. And this is a much larger association. So I don't know that it absolutely has to be size dependent. You know, it's only anecdotal, Stuart. I don't know, Kevin, if you feel differently.
Yeah, I think what limits it is still a technology limit. And you have to scale your conversations to fit, let's say, Zoom. You still can't have 150 people on a Zoom call and have a meaningful meeting out of it. Maybe if you're brick and mortar, you had an auditorium, you could call them all there and have a presentation. You could do something, but I think you can scale it. It still works. We've had this conversation frequently at Band. When it's big, too big to be virtual, and no one, as David said, no one's come up with an answer for that yet.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I might argue 150 people in a meeting at that point, could you just not achieve it through a video? Because there's not a whole lot of opportunities for an interactive dialogue necessarily in a big all-staff meeting like that or a situation like that, so... Kevin, I love the work that you all do in benchmarking and putting data behind practices. Having worked with David, I know that he is huge on benchmarking practices, which rubbed off on me, certainly. Thank you, sir. What are some of the latest trends that we're seeing with regard to virtual organizational practices?
The trends in virtual meetings, to me, have almost already occurred. The virtual world is caught up to a lot of the technology. But I think some of the trends, if you will, more flex hours. It goes without saying, the virtual environment allows for flexibility. Organizations struggle with how to set that up. One model that I've seen, we have core hours, but a lot of people work off that. As long as they're accessible during the core hours to respond to emails, calls, all text, however you set up your communication. But a lot of employees will work outside those hours and do their kind of deep, meaningful project work that way. I'm predicting Zoom will become the Kleenex of conversations, and I see them reacting very well. That's benefiting virtual organizations. The other, without saying, it goes with it, is virtual meetings and these hybrid meetings. I think in the future, we're going to see all associations embrace what virtual associations have been doing all along with virtual meetings and virtual conferences. The beauty of Zoom is you can bring an international audience to your meeting that you may not have. You can bring disadvantaged members who don't have travel funds or might be in a situation where they just can't attend. It opens up so many new possibilities, not just for virtual meetings, but for all associations.
And I'll add to it a couple of other trends. I think from a staff performance management standpoint, much more attention and focus going from activities and butts in seats to managing to outcomes. And if the outcomes are attained in 5 hours versus 10 hours, it's really more the importance of what the outcomes are and defining metrics and outcome measures for individual positions. So I view that as a trend. And then the other trend I'd focus on is I see that there's more companies that are getting involved in providing services that are targeted for virtual organizations. I think a couple of examples, one would be on the technology side, where I've seen a couple of companies that are now focusing on providing equipment and servicing of computer-related equipment for those that work remotely in remote environments. And on the HR side, where they're helping associations with staff in numerous locales, domestically and internationally, to navigate the regulatory and legal waters that are associated with employee management in different locations. So I think there's more companies springing up that's geared towards that virtual environment and assisting organizations with that virtual environment.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so cool to see the infrastructure that is rising up around Van, obviously part of the infrastructure, .org freelancer, just like you all. We saw there was a need specifically for association skilled professionals with experience to be available for freelance services. So that's why we built the .org freelancer platform. We all wanted to use it first and foremost. I'd like to actually talk about freelancing just for a minute, and specifically to David, because we collaborated so wonderfully at ENA, and I learned so much from you just in terms of innovative staff practices and agile talent management. But what are your thoughts, David, in terms of the rise of freelance talent and kind of the agile advantages that it brings to associations?
I'm really excited about that whole movement that you and others have been associated with here, because it opens up so many wonderful possibilities for societies like Kevin's and mine, where we have needs that are definitely not full-time. It's part-time, or it's maybe at different times of the year it's heavy and other times not. And just to be able to have that cadre of people to go to that can fill those needs on a short-term basis, invaluable. And I think the idea that it melds very well with the virtual association environment, where again, now technologically and every other way, we can make them part of the team, even if they're only part-time or for different times of the year. So to me, it's parallel paths that are coming together for mutual benefit very well.
You know, it's the notion of thinking about how to dispatch highly specialized talent to very specific areas, and being able to choose from a national pool of that creates a great opportunity. And, you know, it's fun to be having this conversation with other pioneers and innovators. I'm a strong believer the association industry needs more pioneers and innovators that are bravely reaching out there and creating new frontiers that is going to really bring associations up to speed with our corporate counterparts in a lot of ways, and how things are functioning, operating. So what's on the horizon for the Virtual Association Network?
The most frequent question I get for the van is, do you have information? We're thinking about transitioning from brick and mortar to virtual organization. What resources do you have? We need to build a website and have a resource library. We do have some documents. We've got presentations. We've got some stories. And we've got a lot of resources and van members who have made that transition. And so there's a great knowledge network. We need to transfer that to some type of library or resource index. Want to one day get to more evidence-based. So right now, it's a lot of anecdotal. This has worked for me. You know, we mentioned productivity. My wife is working from home in this. She's been reluctant. She came home and worked last week for the first time, and she was really disappointed that she had to do that. I talked to her at the end of the day. She said, that was one of the greatest days I've ever had. I got so much done. I love the environment. There's a convert. Everyone who does it is a convert. It's getting that those stories and getting the data into some type of document or something that it's a tool that can be used to convince your board, to convince your leadership that this is a good idea. And these are going to be the quantified benefits for doing that. I think there's a real future for that. I think there's also a future for increased networking. When you go virtual, there's a sense that you're going to be alienated a little bit, and you can. A lot of extroverts, they're probably the personality that has difficulty. I've had people reach out to me, what do I do with my time now? You know, I'm looking out the window, I'm lonely. And there are things you can do. And a lot of people have figured out how you do that. But in a great way, it returns humanity to the individual. I feel like most of those people have worked in this environment in a cube most of their life and have stared at a cube wall, and now they've got freedom and they've got the flexibility to design their work around their personality to a degree.
Absolutely. I always like to say this is true work-life balance in the grand scheme of it. And I love that, the humanity of it. I think that's such a great thought in terms of what it's sort of returning to us. David, anything else on the benchmarking side?
We've done annual benchmarking surveys the first 3 years of our existence. We'll be, I guess, testing the waters with our group over the next month to determine whether round four would be helpful at this point. You know, I guess from one vantage point, that's a good time to start looking at trends, because we could trend compared to the first benchmarking survey. But I think that is something that will be a part of Van's future, whether it's every year or every other year. And the way we work at Stewart is that we put out requests to all of the Van members. What are the topics you want to learn about? What are the questions that you want asked? And we accumulate them all together and issue the survey there. I think Van is at a real key point in our future, because this whole COVID situation has created both a tremendous opportunity from all of the associations that may be now thinking of going virtual but haven't yet. And yet the challenge comes in that we're entirely grassroots at this point. And Kevin and myself, both CEOs of organizations, and just the whole idea of, can we sustain an infrastructure that can take advantage of this tremendous opportunity that's out there? You know, there's got to be hundreds and hundreds of organizations and individuals that would benefit from the Van. The question is, can we respond? Can we move forward and keep an organization going that will be valuable to a lot of people? So that's the question.
I am confident that you will be able to work through that and figure that out, because this is really an important organization for our industry. Speaking of the benchmark findings, is that data available online? How would someone access that data?
Well, that is a membership benefit, if you want to call it that, is that we want people to participate in the benchmarking. And if they do, it's free to those to participate. And otherwise, no. What we have done a little bit, Stuart, is to present selected findings from the benchmarking studies in various publications of the ASAE as well as state associations. But we want to motivate participation, as you can well imagine.
Definitely. So if that is the pathway to the data, tell our audience, how do they learn more about the Virtual Association Network, or how do they get involved? What should they do?
Very easy. Send an email to Kevin Helm. The email address is Kevin E. Helm, the number one, Kevin E. Helm one at gmail.com. And I'll get you signed up and added to our list. And you'll get the invitations for the meetings and soon, hopefully, more resources.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, definitely check that out. I would love to have 200, 300, 500,000 more people join the Virtual Association Network. It has rapidly become highly relevant. Of course, we felt it's been relevant for years, but it is great to have the acceleration happening that we're seeing. It's not often that through the history of work that there's such kind of a win-win scenario between organizations and their employees, or businesses and their employees, in order to achieve that. Because, you know, you think of those cost savings that you achieve at the organizational level. Well, you just let your board know you've got that much more money to put towards the mission. So Kevin, tell us, typically when do the Van meetings take place?
The meetings are the first Wednesday of the even month. So the next one will be October, the first Wednesday at 1 o'clock Central. And the topic of that meeting will be doing some future planning for the Van. We'll figure out where our next steps are.
Well, Kevin and David, thank you so much for all you do for our association community. Thanks for putting in the blood, sweat, and tears to get the network off the ground. It really is a tremendous group of people. I always enjoy participating when I'm able to do so. I enjoy contributing, but most importantly, I enjoy learning so much from peers from all over the country that are moving in these directions. And it's so great to see the evolution of all. So thank you all for sharing your time and talents with us today.
It's been a pleasure, Stuart. And thank you for bringing some awareness to us that might otherwise be the case. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Stuart.
We invite you to never miss an episode of the Future of Association Work podcast by subscribing to the Future of Association Work podcast free of charge via your favorite smartphone podcast app, whether you are on iPhone or Android or other phones. Also, we hope you'll help us spread the word with your fellow association nerds via social media or good old-fashioned word of mouth. We also invite you to jump into the conversation by joining our closed Future of Association Work discussion group on Facebook. Simply go to Facebook, search Future of Association Work, and click to be added to the group, and I promise you we will. Until we once again join the future already in progress next time, this is Stuart, and always remember, we're all in this together.